Blog Talk Radio.
And they shall see the Son of Man coming with power and glory.
Word of prophecy ain't no fantasy, so great we pray.
Jehovah,
Jehovah Sitzenu,
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What an appropriate, beautiful song this evening. Glory, glory, hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of The Way, The Truth, The Life Tabernacle, your host here on Blog Talk Radio. And you could contact us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. As you know, today is Sunday, so we're dealing with the Bible mysteries. And these past Sundays and continue on until we will complete the list, we are dealing with the names or titles of God. Today, we're dealing with Jehovah Sikhnu. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And the question is, the first question is, what does it mean? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you call the station, you come up with the correct answer, and this is the first time you're calling, you will receive from the church a free pamphlet, accordion-style, colorful pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. It's a beautiful pamphlet, and I would recommend you put it in your Bible so when you go out and you have an appointment and you're waiting for court, you could always take it out of your Bible and you look up the scriptures that it says in there and you learn what the tabernacle is. Now, the tabernacle is also known as the tabernacle of the congregation. It's also known as the tent of meetings. Glory be to God. This is what Moses and the Israelites put together when they were in the wilderness. And it was a temporary shelter. And God would speak to them from the mercy seat. Glory, glory. And as you know, the mercy seat is found in the Holy of Holies, the top portion there. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you're calling in and it's your second and above time, you're going to receive a beautiful breakdown of the prayer of the Our Father prayer, or what we call the prayer of the Lord. But if you look at the Gospel of John chapter 17, that is the chapter that talks about the prayer of the Lord, Jesus Christ praying to his Father. Here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, is our prayer. The disciples ask Jesus, John teaches disciples how to pray. Why don't you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, when you pray, begin with our Father, which art in heaven. So we have a breakdown of these Our Father prayer. And we broke it down into 12 rooms in your personal house of prayer. And it's color-coded according to the Messiah's color. And it would direct you, and it would show you to each part that is dedicated to the prayer. Glory be to the house. God said in Isaiah 56:7, for my house will be called the house of prayer for all nations. And that's part of our itinerary. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., we have an hour of prayer, and I would encourage you to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, Our Prayer, The Way, The Truth, and Life Tabernacle, 516-418-5944. Glory be to the Lord. So on Sundays, we have the Bible mystery, and we've been dealing with the names or titles of God. Today, we're going to deal with Jehovah Sikhnu. Glory be to God. Then on Tuesday, 7 p.m., we have our intercessory prayer where we pray for a lot of subtopics. One in particular comes from Psalms 122:6, where God commands us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we will continue to do that as long as we have breath in our lungs and the Lord doesn't take us home. We're going to continue. Hallelujah. So the only way we're going to stop is when we lay this body down, or the Lord calls us home in the rapture. Glory be to the Lord. On Thursdays is our Bible study. And the main subject is, what's next? What are we expecting next? Glory be to the Lord. And we spoke about the rapture and the return of Christ. the second coming of Christ. He came once. He was born in the manger as a baby, humble, and he suffered and died and buried and resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. Glory be to the Lord. And John described him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So the Jewish people believed that they're waiting for two messiahs, Messiah ben David and Messiah ben Joseph. So ben Joseph was a suffering servant and Messiah ben David is a conquering one. So they thought that Jesus was coming to conquer, to alleviate the Jewish people from the torment of the Roman soldiers. But Jesus didn't come for that. Jesus came to liberate us from sin. According to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, sin is what separates us from God. And we needed to get our act together, so to speak, in order for us to enter into the kingdom of God. And the only way we're going to enter into the kingdom of God is repenting of our sins, repenting towards God, and faith towards Jesus. That means we're going to accept Christ as a Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then, you know, God forgives us. He writes down our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let me just give you a little bit of itinerary and disclaimer. The disclaimer is that the songs that we play on this program do not belong to Pastor Ramos. They do not belong to the church, the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists who sing the songs or produce it. But because we bought the albums, the CDs, the DVDs, in it we have permission to use their songs. So that's we want to let you know about that. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. On Sundays, 7 p.m., as you know, we're dealing with the Bible mysteries, either the names or titles of God. Today we're dealing with Jehovah Sissinuk. Glory be to the Lord. And the question is, what does it mean? And then where could we find it in the Bible? And why was God called Jehovah Sissinuk? So we're going to answer those questions, but I'm not going to give you the answer to what does it mean. That is something that you have to study and come up. If you're calling it for the first time and you have the right answer, you're going to receive from the church a beautiful free colorful accordion style pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. Glory. And I would recommend you put it in your Bible, and when you go out to your meetings or waiting to be called, you could take it out and study it. The tabernacle is also known as the tabernacle of the congregations. It's also known as the tent of meetings. God spoke to Moses and the people from the mercy seat, which is the upper part of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Glory be. When the cloud by day would move, they would take down the tent and they would follow the cloud by day. When it stopped, they would rebuild the tent and continue their services. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're calling in and this is a second or third or second and above times, you're going to receive a beautiful breakdown of the house of prayer. The disciples told, asked Jesus, you know, John teaches his disciples to pray. Why don't you teach us? So Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. So we broke down the Our Father prayer, or the Lord's Prayer, into 12 rooms that help you to understand it much easier, much better. Glory be to the Lord. Of course, God said in Isaiah 56, 7, for my house will be called the house of prayer for all nations. So we have a breakdown, 12 rooms in your personal prayer house. Now, this is our prayer, our Father prayer. But if you want to look at Jesus' prayer where he's talking to the Father, you would have to read it. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. Glory be to the Lord. On Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we have intercessory prayer. And we have a lot of subtopics that we pray for. And one in particular, Psalms 122:6, God commands us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're going to continue doing that. And we would encourage you to call us at Block Talk Radio. Invite your family, friends, and neighbors to call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., we have our Bible class. And the question that we're dealing with is, what's next? What do we expect next? We've been talking about the rapture and the return of Jesus Christ. You want to hear talk about the rapture? There's many examples in the Old Testament. But if you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, Paul is writing there about the rapture. It says that God will bring with him those that have fallen asleep, those that have gone before us. Jesus Christ himself will descend in the clouds with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. So the rapture is the first resurrection. And then we that remain shall be caught up together with them in the air forever to be with the Lord. We're going to meet Christ in the clouds, in the air. He's not going to come to the earth. In the return, he's going to come to Mount Olives. He's going to go to Mount Olives. We're going to come with him because, remember, we're going to be the army of heaven, and the angels are coming, and we're going to be ready for war, although we won't have to do anything because the Bible says by the breath of his mouth, Jesus Christ will destroy the enemies and he will set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. Glory. So we're looking at what's next. We're looking at the return of Jesus Christ. Glory be to the Lord. And part five that we're dealing with is the rapture will cause the Antichrist to be revealed. It cannot be revealed until the saints be taken up. So the only way the saints are going to be taken up, gathered together, general assembly, raptured up, it's in the rapture. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the rapture is a immediate expectation of the return of Jesus Christ. We don't know when it's going to take place. It could take place at by the end of this program, by the end of this day, by the end of this week. We just don't know. Jesus said nobody knows the hour nor the day, only the Father. Glory be. And he gave us a little example with the Galilean wedding, that only the Father would tell the Son when to pick up his wife. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're dealing today with Jehovah 6.0. Glory be to the Lord. What does Jehovah 6.0 mean? That is something that you need to research and understand. What does it mean and how does it affect us? Glory. Where can we find it, Jehovah 6.0? Well, there's two places in the Bible. Jeremiah 23:5-6, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jeremiah 33:15-16, talking about the city of Jerusalem. Glory be to the Lord. And I'll read to you those verses so you can see how this is depicted. In Jeremiah 23:5-6, it says, "See, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch." That righteous branch is talking about Jesus Christ. And then it says, rise up for David, a righteous branch. Well, he wrote, Jesus Christ resurrected on the third day, according to the scriptures. The Holy Spirit raised him up. Jesus laid his life down and he took it up himself. Glory be to the Lord. And a king, he's a king. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, will reign and prosper. He will do that when he sets up his millennial reign, and will administer judgment and justice in the earth. The word of God says with the rod of iron. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If we go to chapter 33 and verse 15 and 16, we're going to read there talking about the city, and we're going to read it. In those days and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up for David, and he will administer justice and righteousness in the land. So we know that verse 15 is talking about Jesus Christ. But in 16, there is a change. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this name by which it. Now, I have the pastor's Bible. It says it. But when you look at the King James, it says this is the name by which she will be called. And we know that it's talking about Jerusalem. Glory, the Lord, hallelujah. Jehovah Sisinu, glory. So both places have similar language, but one is talking about the Messiah, and the latter part of 33 is talking about the city of Jerusalem. Why was God called Jehovah Sisinu? God promised, and through the prophets to the Jewish people, God promised to forgive their sins. He did that. If you read Jeremiah chapter 31, and you read all those verses there, you're going to read how God says, I will forgive their sins and not remember them at all. So God promised to forgive their sins. He promised to rebuild the temple and Jerusalem. And sure enough, that's what's going to happen during the millennial reign of Christ. He's going to build the temple and Jerusalem. Why he's got to build Jerusalem? Because the word of God tells us in Zechariah and other prophets that the Antichrist will kill a lot of the Jewish people. Two-thirds of the nation of Israel will be killed. One-third will be saved. Why? Because they run to Petra in the mountains, and the Antichrist cannot attack them there. And he destroys Jerusalem. He destroys the temple. So when Jesus Christ defeats the enemy, he's going to rebuild the temple and he's going to rebuild Jerusalem, because the Bible says God put his name in Jerusalem. So he's not going to let it stay destroyed like that. It was destroyed once before, if you remember, or twice before. The first time was when the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar came, they destroyed the temple and the city. And then that was in 385 AD, BC. And then we got in 70 AD, we have the Romans with Titus. They came in and destroyed the temple, and they destroyed Jerusalem and took a lot of the Jews as slaves and prisoners. Glory be to the Lord. And so God promised that he will rebuild the temple and Jerusalem. God will give them a new covenant. And God did that in Jeremiah 31:31-34. He said, I'll give you a new covenant, not like the covenants that I have with your old, which they broke, which your fathers broke, he says, but I'll give you a new covenant. I will write my laws in your hearts. You will be my children, and I will be your God. I will forgive your sins and not remember them anymore. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we understand that that's what God said he would do. And he did that. You read that in the scriptures. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let us go on to 2 Corinthians 5:23. And we're going to see 5:23. Hallelujah. 5:23. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Cool. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:5. And we're going to go there. Okay. In the Pastoral Bible, they only have 21 verses. They condensed it. But this is what 5:23 says. If you read in the King James Version, it says, for he made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. The right. So he exchanged our place with his. He became sin, and we became righteous in the eyes of God. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, my brothers and sisters, what does it mean? What does Jehovah Sikunu mean? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. It's something that you need to study and understand. If you go back and you study the names and titles of God, you would get a better understanding of the scriptures that you are reading. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We glorify you for everything that you're doing. You have 31 minutes left. Call Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. I would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors here on Blog Talk Radio. Today's mystery is, what does Jehovah Sikunu mean? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. While you're gathering your thoughts and what you're studying, let me read some things to you from a study that I've done about Jehovah Sikunu. Jehovah Sikunu is one of the names of God in the Bible. It combines God's personal name, Jehovah or Yahweh, with the Hebrew word Sikunu. Together, this name for God means Jehovah Sikunu. Jehovah Sikunu, in the book of Jeremiah, the name Jehovah Sikunu occurs only twice in the Bible, both times in the book of Jeremiah. And the first time is in, we talked about Jesus. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called, Jehovah Sikunu. Now it's going to begin with Jesus Christ, but then it's going to turn over to the city of Jerusalem. In chapter 33 of Jeremiah, it says, in those days, and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. That's part one. Part two says, now it talks about Jerusalem. In those days, Judea shall be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, Jehovah Sikunu. Here again, in the study guide, they are quoting the King James Version. And in the King James Version, it says, of the city of Jerusalem, she, glory be to the Lord. In the Passage Bible, it talks about Nasheba it. When Jeremiah wrote his book, the people were in exile in Babylonia. Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed. God raised up prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others who called God's people to repent of their sins and turn back to him. If they did so, God promised to forgive them. Jerusalem and the temple would be rebuilt, and they will once more live in the land in peace and safely. These two passages that we read, Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, and Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16, are part of those promises. The kingdom will be restored, and the righteous king of the lineage of David will rule once more. He will be called Jehovah Sikunu. Hallelujah. The Jews did return to their land. Jerusalem and the temple were restored. Were fully realized because they never returned to him completely. Most Bible scholars see these two passages in Jeremiah as referring to Jesus Christ, the Messiah who will come to be righteousness to all who accept him as Lord and Savior. Some have wondered about the different pronouns used in Jeremiah 23 and 33, he versus she. Except for this difference, the two passages are almost identical and are clearly talking about the same thing. The explanation is that she in Jeremiah 33:16 refers to Jerusalem. Jerusalem will dwell safely, and this is the name by which she will be called, Jehovah Sitzenu. As the holy city of the righteous king to come, Jerusalem is called by his name. Jesus is Jehovah Sitzenu. The prophet Micah wrote that the Messiah will come from Bethlehem of the tribe of Judah. The human genealogies of Jesus recorded in Matthew and Luke make a point of the fact that he was a descendant of both Judah and King David. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. When Jesus came to our world as a human being, he came as the fulfillment of Jeremiah 23:5 and 6, 33:15 and 16. He is the promised branch of righteousness, growing out of David's line of Jewish kings. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is Jehovah Sitzenu. What does Jesus' righteousness mean? Why is it important that Jesus is Jehovah Sitzenu? What does his righteousness mean for you? Number one, the Bible is clear that we have no righteousness of our own. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 and 23. Even those things we think are righteous about ourselves are like soiled rags. Isaiah 64 and 6. Number two, not only do we have no righteousness of our own, it is impossible for us to achieve righteousness by our efforts. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. Jeremiah 13 and 23. Three, the meaning that Jesus Christ is our only source of righteousness. He, God, made him who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, Acts 4:12, the name of Jesus Christ. Number four, Jesus, Jehovah Sitzenu, offers to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He offers us his righteousness as a free gift when we accept him as our Savior. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1 and 9. His righteousness covers our sins. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61:10. Finally, if you have never accepted the righteousness Jesus offers, you can do so right now. He says, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. The Gospel of John 6:37. If you ask him to, he will forgive your sins and cover you with his robe of righteousness. He truly is Jehovah Sitzenu. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we have the teachings and the meaning of what does Jehovah Sitzenu mean. If you paid attention, if you study, if you looked it up, you're going to get the answer. And if you get the right answer, and you have 22 minutes to go, if you get the right answer, this is the first time you call, you will get from the church a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolism that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. I would recommend you put it inside your Bible, and when you have time and you've been ready to be called, you could take it out and study it and learn it. The tabernacle is also known as the tabernacle of the congregation. It's also known as the tent of meetings. God would speak to Moses and the people from the mercy seat, which was the upper part of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. When the cloud by day would move, they would take down the tent of meetings and they would follow the cloud. When the cloud would stop, they would rebuild the tent of meetings and continue their services. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. If this is your second time or more calling with the correct answer, you will get a beautiful, colorful breakdown of the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but in reality, the Lord's Prayer is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. This is our prayer. When the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, Jesus said, begin saying, Our Father. And so, you know, this is broken down into 12 rooms, colorful rooms in the colors of the Messiah. God said, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations in Isaiah 56:7. The Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:9-13, is broken down to 12 rooms. So this is what you receive free from the church if you get the right answer. And the question is, what does it mean, Jehovah Sitzenu? You know, and God is great. And you got 20 minutes to go, and God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the thanks. We give you all the glory. Do unto your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we're going to hear that song again.
And they shall see the Son of Man coming with power and glory.
Word of prophecy and no fantasy. So great we praise. Like an obstacle
me away from my God, and I'm an overcomer, warrior, loving, teaching, blessing my enemies. And we know the fight is not against flesh and blood, children, it's against the power of darkness in our lives. Who may be able to stand up and fight them and those in the armored clothes, clutching the sword of the Spirit, El Shaddai Adonai Most High,
hallelujah, hallelujah. We're back again, and you've got about 15 minutes to go. And the question is, what does it mean, Jehovah Tsidkenu? What does it mean? Glory be to the Lord. We know that when we find it in Jeremiah, two places in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, and Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16. In Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, we understand that it's talking about the righteous branch, Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 33, 15, 16, it starts off talking about Jesus Christ, the righteous branch. But then it talks about Jerusalem being in safety and being called Jehovah Tsidkenu. So the city is called after the name of God, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we understand why God was called Jehovah Tsidkenu. He promised to forgive their sins. If we look at Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, we're going to read there where it says, I will forgive their sins and never remember them any longer. But God promised to rebuild the temple and Jerusalem. And he would do that in the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. Because the third temple, the one that they're trying to build now, will be destroyed by the Antichrist when he's revealed, because he wants to sit in the temple as he's God, and he's not going to be received, and he's going to try to destroy, he will destroy the temple in Jerusalem, and he would also through his army kill about two-thirds of Israel. One-third of Israel will be saved. They'll run. They'll go to the mountains of Petra, as Jesus said, and when he comes in the return, he's going to go there and rescue the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. So those remnants of Israel will be saved during the tribulation time. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. God also promised that he will give them a new covenant. If we read Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, he said he will give them a new covenant, not like the covenant that their forefathers broke, but he was going to put the law into their hearts. They will be his children, and he will be their God. He will not remember their sins any longer. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 5:23, we see that Jesus exchanged his place for ours, or our place for his. We were sinners from the very beginning. There's no righteousness in us. No, there's no righteous, no, not one. Yet what he did, even though he didn't know no sin, he exchanged that position with us. He became sin. When he went on the cross, he took upon the sins of the world. If you remember reading and studying Moses building the cross there and put it on a bronze serpent, why, you know, a lot of people question, why did Moses put the bronze serpent? That was a pagan sign. We see it today I worked as a paramedic for 23 and a half years, and we today, the paramedic EMTs from the past have what we call the caduce, which is the serpent on the pole. It just represents the people healing. In the time of Moses, when he put the bronze serpent on the pole, if you remember, the people were disobedient to God. They were bitten by snakes. But Moses said, whoever looks upon that pole with a bronze serpent will be healed. And that's what happened. And even now, if you look at Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross, and you accept what he did for you, and you ask for forgiveness, you will be healed from that sin, sinful nature. Because sin is, according to Isaiah 59, sin is what separates us from God. So sin makes us unrighteous. But we become the righteousness of God in him because Christ exchanged the position of us and his. He became sin and we became righteousness. But, you know, knowing the terror of God, and we know because God is love, God is good, and God is holy, but he's also a consuming fire. You know, he doesn't want to send no one to hell. But what happens when people die without Christ, without the forgiveness of God, they have chosen to go to hell. And all God does is accommodate their wishes. God doesn't send no one to hell. Actually, the Bible says that his long suffering is for us to be safe. His long suffering. You know, a lot of people, they mock God and they question, why is he taking so long? Because there is somebody out there that need to be saved. They need salvation. Because if God was supposed to close out the book, like so to speak, on the earth, on mankind, you know how many people will be heading to hell? More than what's happening right now. But it behooves us right now, brothers and sisters, to tell everybody that God loves you. God loves you. And God loves you. He loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you very much, my brothers and sisters. Don't turn away the opportunity to be saved, to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to become a son or daughter of God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Don't pass that opportunity up because it could happen now. You could be in the best health that you're in right now, and tonight could be your last night on this earth. Tomorrow you open your eyes and you'll be in burning fire, in tormenting fire with those that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, you have an opportunity right now. You have 8 minutes to go. 8 minutes is more than enough. You recognize that you are a sinful person. You repent of your sins. That means you turn 180 degrees. You don't go back doing them again. You ask Christ to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior, and he will do so. He will fill you with the Holy Spirit to give you encouragement and strength to go on. Is it a bed of roses? No way. If anybody tells you that, they're lying. It's not a bed of roses. You will be prosecuted because of the name of Jesus Christ. But the little that we lose on this temporal earth cannot be compared with the abundance of blessings that we would have when we enter into eternity, when we leave this body and enter into eternity and be with God forever and ever and ever. You can't compare the two. You can't compare the little bit of suffering that we're going through now with the blessings that we're going to have when we are with the Lord. You know, that there's a reason why you are listening to the program. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart. It's because God is calling you, and he don't want you to say no to Jesus. Jesus is God's forgiveness to you. And if you just ask God to cleanse you for all your unrighteousness, for all your sins, and to fill you with his Holy Spirit as you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, God would do so. And you would have a guarantee. Jesus said, anyone comes to me, I will not likewise cast them out. And once you're in his hand, Jesus said, no one could pluck you out of his hand. No one. So no matter what the enemy tries, he's not going to be victorious, because in Christ Jesus, you have the victory. You know, you have to make up your mind that you want to live holy and righteous before God. You want to not commit sin any longer, because you know that sin is what separates you from God. And are you going to be perfect? No. Because unless God calls you home, you're going to remain in this sinful body that was cursed at one time until the Lord calls you home. So as long as you're in this body, the world will come against you. Your flesh will come against you. Satan will come against you. And he will use anyone and everyone to come against you. And all you have to do would be to stand still. Because when you read Ephesians chapter 6, it says we don't fight flesh and blood. We don't fight flesh and blood. You know, so everything that we have is by faith and is spiritual. Don't let your opportunity to be saved to go down the drain. God loves you very much. And, you know, everybody quotes the Gospel of John 3:16. But take a little bit deeper. Take it a little bit deeper. Put your name there. I'll reach you with my name so you would understand what I'm talking about. For God so loved Carlos that he gave his only begotten son, that if Carlos believed him, he would have eternal life, glory, and not be cast away. And that's the way you need to do. You need to put your name there, you know. God so loved Timothy. God so loved Patty. God so loved Mary. God so loved John. God so loved Santiago. God so loved you. When you read that, the Gospel of John 3:16, and you read God so loved the world, exchange that for your name. You're not changing the word of God, because what we have in our hand is a carbon copy of the original one in heaven. You see? Now, if you're changing the word of God to deceive someone else or to deceive yourself, something is wrong there in the midst. You know? And that's what you need to be aware of. Don't let no one deceive you, starting with yourself. Don't believe a lie. I'll give you an example. For the longest time, as I'm growing up, I hear people saying, you could take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. You know? And I believed that for the longest time. But as I grew older, I learned something. The Lord revealed it to me. If you take the horse to the water, he will drink the water if you put salt in his mouth. Because salt will cause him to be thirsty for the water. So, you know, sometimes people present things and you have to be very careful, because they might be deceiving you. And you have to analyze everything people say according to the word of God. Let the word of God be dominant, dictate everything. The word of God is settled in heaven forever. Jesus himself said it, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. So we can't do that. And when Jesus was talking to the Jewish people, he said, not a dot or a tittle will pass away until all is fulfilled. We have to understand time is at hand. We're living in the last days. We're living in the times of Jacob's trouble. We're living in the times of tribulations. It's not the great tribulation. It's not the tribulation that Jesus is talking about. We're going to have tribulation, trials and tribulations on this earth, you know, until the Lord calls us home, you know. And how do we know that? Because we've been talking about in Bible study on Thursday, 7 p.m., about the rapture and the return. The rapture, we read it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of those who have gone before us, as others that have no hope do. But God will bring with him those who are falling asleep. The Lord himself shall descend in the clouds with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Those that God brought with him, the spiritual man part, he brought them back. They're coming to get their body, the glorified body. Glory be to the Lord. And then we that remain are caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to change from an immortal body to a mortality body, from a corruptible body to an incorruptible body. And we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. He's coming in the clouds in the rapture. In the return, he's coming to Mount Olivet. So there's a difference there. A lot of people don't believe in the rapture, but, you know, the rapture is there. A lot of people don't believe in the rapture, but they don't find it in the Bible. But if you look at the Latin Vulgate, rapimo is there. In the Greek, harpazo means caught up, means rapture. So we'll be back on Tuesday at 7 o'clock for intercessory prayer. I invite you and hope you invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.